I believe that relationships are part of, at the core of what it means to be human. This is how God has designed it. They are multifaceted, unique things. Everyone has relationships. Some know how to foster their relationships better than others. But there's no relationship that is the same. The relationship that I have with one person cannot and will not be the same that some other person will have that relationship with. Christ's relationship with God the Father is the ultimate relationship. And I love how Christ talks about his relationship with God. He says in John 12 and verse 49, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." What a relationship to emulate. Christ is saying, anything that I did was not from myself. I did it because the Father told me to. He could have done anything he wanted, but he did what God told him to. Again, in John 14 and verse 10, he says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." We are talking about Christ, the Logos, the God of the Old Testament, the I Am. And he tells us that whatever the Father wanted, that is what he said, and that is what he did. Now, how did Christ do this? Christ had the faith, the confidence, the trust that he was from God. He knew where he was from. He knew his purpose and why he was here. But this relationship that he had with God flowed both ways. God trusted Christ. He believed in Christ. And he says in Matthew 3 and verse 17, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is what God thought of Christ. He entrusted him with being perfect so that he could take on the sins of the whole world. There was a trust between both of them. And what a completely different attitude than most other relationships we see and we have. When is the last time you saw a human relationship work like this relationship? There is no one that is willing to act like this. You know, we can work in our lives to get closer to this type of relationship, and that's what God wants and expects. But that is not something that we are capable of yet. But God and Christ, while they have this relationship, they wanted more. And so here we are, because they wanted more. They want to grow this relationship that they have with us. In John 14 and verse 23 and 24, Jesus is praying and he says, or talking rather here, but he says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." This is Christ's words to us. If we love God, if we love the commandments, if we love being a Christian and learning how to have a relationship with God, then he will come and have a relationship with us. But he takes it one step further. In chapters 15, in verses 7 and 8 of John, he continues, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." When our relationship grows with the Father to the point where we care about the outcomes of our actions and how they bring glory and honor to God or the lack thereof, that is when we are on the right track. That is when our relationship with God is going to be growing. It's a great marker for us to judge ourselves by, to set a standard by. Do my words, my actions, my habits, my thoughts, do they bring glory and honor to God? Our relationship with God and Christ is personal. No one is going to have the relationship that you or I will have with them. You can't have the relationship that I have with God, and I can't have the relationship that you have with God. It's just how it is. But we get out what we put in. This is so often in relationships how it works. The more effort you put in, the better it will be. The notable thing is that oftentimes it doesn't take moving mountains to make a difference. Being kind, being generous and merciful and loving, gentle, careful with words, these are things that move our relationships. And it's not that we just have to do this occasionally. It's something that we are supposed to be living our lives towards. And it takes effort on our parts. When we talk about God and Christ and our relationship with them, we find in Ephesians 6 and verse 18 this: "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Prayer at all times, in all things. Prayer doesn't have to be 15 minutes long. It can be instantaneous. Maybe you're in the middle of a fight with somebody. Stopping and saying a quick prayer can help you change your attitude, change your mental state. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Without that type of relationship, God knows everything that's going on in our lives. He cares about us. He wants to help us. But are we actually praying to him? Are we asking him for that help? When we attempt to have this type of relationship with God, I can promise you that God will meet you halfway. Because it says right here that he will. But it's that first halfway that we have to make. It's that first attempt that we have to reach out and sincerely mean what we are asking for. Now, if we ignore or flat out don't care, or we're too busy or uninterested in God, then why should he care? Why should he meet us halfway? So many times it says, continue in prayer, continue. ask once, ask 100 times, ask 200 times, until God gives you an answer one way or the other. If we spend most of our time ignoring God, ignoring his words, ignoring his power, then there is no relationship. In Jeremiah 29, verses 12 to 14, it says, "And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." When? When you go and pray to God. "And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with your half heart." When you're going to bed. When you're driving to work. "When you search for me with your whole heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Now, captivity doesn't have to be physical, although it implies here, right? But captivity can be what we allow our minds to be filled with. The distractions, the excuses, the choices. And yet the beauty is that God says, "Seek me. Pray to me. And anything that is captivating you, I will remove it. I will bring you back." There is nothing that cannot be cured by God. But it has to be done with our whole heart. With our whole being. We each have to know when we are seeking God with our whole hearts. That has to be something that you know deep within yourself. And I think that each of us knows when we are and when we are not. Because we must not become fooled. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who could know it? Our hearts on their own are not useful instruments to help guide us. They can't be. In Matthew 24 and verse 12, we are warned about the times that we are living in. And it says, "Because lawlessness has increased, the love of many people will grow cold." The love for God, the love for truth, the love of a relationship with God will grow cold. The relationship that we foster now, that we continue to grow with towards God, will be the only thing that stands between us and utter destruction. It will be the only thing that allows us to hold on and not stray from the truth and the love of God. If you were to rate yourself from 1 to 10, 1 being worst, 10 being the best, on how you feel your relationship with God is going, what would that number be? What does your relationship with God mean to you? Is it trivial? Is it semi-important? Or is it most important? I'd like to turn to John 17, verse 20 to 26. Because this is Christ's prayer to the Father for you and me today. He says, John 17, verse 20, "I do not pray for these alone," he's talking about his disciples then and there, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word." We believe in God. We believe in Christ. We believe in everything that we're teaching. "That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may also be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you love me from before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared them to your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. All those years ago, Christ knew that we would be here today, that we would be doing this thing called life. He made provisions for us to know the truth that the same glory that God gave him, he gives to us if we are willing to accept it, if we are willing to meet him halfway in a relationship, if we are willing to continue to work and to grow that most important relationship.